We've seen over the last week an incredible, hysterical, repressive, anti-protest, anti-democratic environment whipped up by our politicians and by the media, and including, shamefully, by our Premier, Chris Minns. Now, we need to be very clear about this. We will not stop protesting for Palestine. Nothing they do will ever stop us from protesting for Palestine. We will never stand by and watch a genocide take place and do nothing. Now, we know that it is one of the longest and oldest tricks in the book, if you like, is to slander Palestine activists as being anti-Semitic. We have to be very clear about this. Our movement is absolutely against anti-Semitism. We denounce it. It has nothing in common with what we're fighting for. Ours is a movement against racism. That's exactly what we're fighting for. The Palestinians are treated brutally. They're described as animals, as cockroaches by the Zionist State of Israel. That's what we're against. We're against the State of Israel. We're never against Jewish people. And there is a long and proud and wonderful history of many Jews around the world being part of our movement for a free Palestine. And we'll be hearing today from two speakers from the Jewish community to reinforce that point. These are people who are not new to our movement. These are people who have been protesting for decades for a free Palestine. So we have to be clear today. As I said, even if we do everything absolutely 100% perfectly, the media will denounce us as anti-Semites anyway. We know that's true. However, it obviously does not help that on the Monday night protest we held after our rally, a tiny, tiny group of people did actually chant anti-Semitic slogans. So we have to be totally clear that today and for every future protest, none of that will ever happen again. And if anyone even begins to chant such slogans, everyone around them must and will tell them to shut up, that this is not what we're about. Doing that is not only wrong and racist in its own right, as we know, it massively harms the Palestinian cause for people to do that. It gives the media, who want to denounce us anyway, a free kick, which we definitely do not want to give them. Anyone who is a true supporter of Palestine would never make such a chant. Okay. On another vein, we know the media and the police and the government are looking for any excuse to try to crack down on our right to protest. So that's another thing we need to be very clear on today. Today we must be disciplined, we must be very peaceful, and that's true even if people try to provoke us, and we can't rule that out, that there will be people today who try to cause trouble, who try to, pretend they're part of our protest while here to cause trouble, or people who come from outside trying to provoke us. We need to be very clear, we need to be very calm, we need to ignore them, we need to be disciplined. Because we need to fight and to continue to demand our right to protest in this state. And on that front, we have already lodged the paperwork to say that next Saturday, the 21st of October, we are going to be holding another protest at Town Hall. And we are going to be marching on our streets, as is our right, as is our basic democratic right. Now, what happens today will partly determine how the courts and the government look upon that. So again, it's why we need to be extra disciplined today so that we have an extra basis to fight for our right to protest next week. Whatever happens, we will protest next week. Let me be clear. We will not stop. But we don't want to give them a free kick or any extra ammunition.
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
Peter Slezak. Peter is a beautiful Jewish old man. Peter has been a voice. Peter has been a voice for Palestine for decades, and a voice for boycotts, divestments, and sanctions on Israel. Give it up for Peter.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege for me to be here today on this very difficult time. Let me begin by adding some remarks to what Josh said. My parents were survivors of the Holocaust. I think I know anti-Semitism when I see it. I grew up with their stories. I want to say that I want to pay particular tribute publicly to the organisers of this rally, like every other rally over the years that I've had the privilege to attend and to speak at. I want to pay tribute particularly to the Palestinian community and all of you for clearly and loudly saying each time, as we just did, that we reject anti-Semitism and it's not anti-Jewish to protest the crimes of the State of Israel. I'm one of the very many Jews here and around the world, it's important to know, who are distressed and shamed, not for the first time, by what Israel has been doing in our name. I'm privileged here in Australia and elsewhere to have very dear Palestinian friends here and in Palestine, and I'm devastated to see, not for the first time, their anguish, their heartbreak, the horrors and the suffering that they have to endure. But like many Jews, I also have close family in Israel, and I share their grief over the atrocities and loss that they have suffered. We must be able, as many Jews have been saying recently, to grieve and mourn both Palestinian and Israeli deaths. Israeli and Western leaders have actually dehumanized the Palestinians, but the response from us cannot be to dehumanize the Israelis. If we lose our moral consistency, we weaken the Palestinian cause. Thank you. Speaking to the Jews, one Jewish writer has said just today that our humanity is being put to the test. This is now in relation to the tragedy, the awful things happening in Gaza. It's in the same spirit that a rabbi in New York has just said, and I won't read it all. He said that even as we mourn our dead in Israel, we must acknowledge and protest the genocide Israel is currently perpetrating against the Palestinians. He went on at some length, but he said that if we ignore this reality without commenting and committing ourselves to the cause, without fighting actively for the Palestinian people, we will be complicit in this horrible bloodshed. So in London and in New York, there are huge crowds of Jews assembling to protest the US-backed Israeli attacks on Gaza. They're chanting, "Not in our name," and I'm proud to stand with them and with you in solidarity with the Palestinian people. But the Palestinian cause on the other side for national liberation and self-determination is based on justice, human rights, and international law. But this means we can't ignore, of course, or condone the recent atrocities or perpetrated on innocent civilians. We may follow the Palestinian ambassador to the UK, the very articulate Hussam Zomlot, who said, "We must regain the moral high ground. We undermine the Palestinian cause if we look away." In other words, we must understand and explain the causes of the recent tragic events, which is not to justify them. The attack on Israelis was said to be unprovoked, but in fact, it was a desperate breakout from a concentration camp by the people of Gaza. The world only pays attention when Israelis are killed and Palestine resists. But the tragic suffering of Gaza and Palestine didn't begin last week. The people of Gaza have been under the most brutal, inhumane, and illegal blockade. It's a crime in international law for the past 16 years. Gaza's caged population has been traumatized beyond endurance. What did Israel or the world community expect? How can you trap 2.some million people in Gaza, half of whom are children, in one of the most densely populated places on the planet for 16 years? Shame. What did Israel or the world community expect? How can you keep people in such conditions? And it has to be said, Israel, contrary to its claims, didn't leave Gaza, as they kept saying. Israel withdrew its soldiers and its settlers in 2005, but it controls every single aspect of the Gazans' life. It controls every entry, exit, as well as Gaza's airspace and coastline. It controls and restricts Gaza's electricity and they suffer from severe shortages. Israel prevents farmers to have access to the most fertile parts of the farming land. Israel limits fishing in Gaza's territorial waters. Israel calculated, this is the most sick kind of policies, Israel actually calculated the amount of food allowed into Gaza, the number of calories that they could have. It's so that the Gazan people would starve but not quite die. They described this policy as putting the Palestinians on a diet. Shame. In 2018, not so long ago, in the Great March of Return, Israeli snipers lined up on a barricade and shot dead nurses, disabled people in wheelchairs, and hundreds of unarmed civilians. We all know they have endured four devastating military assaults, unequal military assaults since 2008. Let me just list a few of the features of Palestine and Gaza's suffering in particular. 70% of the population of Gaza are on humanitarian aid. 40% are unemployed. 10% of the children under five have stunted growth due to malnutrition. 60% of Gaza's school children are anemic. And 90% of the water in Gaza is unsafe for human consumption. Shame on Israel. Of course, as we've heard today, the usual cry is that Israel has the so-called right to defend itself, but it's not self-defense to starve the people of Gaza. That's pure barbarity and a crime in international law. And the suggestion that there's no provocation, maybe all of this could be seen as provocation. In fact, it amounts to collective punishment under international law. And the civilian population is being persecuted and treated under the crime of the Fourth Geneva Convention. This is under the watch and the protection of the governments, including our own. Shame. Of course, we ask, how long did the world expect Palestinians to endure this brutality and dehumanization? And of course, as has already been said, it's not just Israel, but Western governments and complicit media, including our own, who are to blame. Their silence and indifference to the desperate suffering of the Palestinians is a direct cause of the recent events. Let me talk about the recent events quickly before I wind up. The present assault on Gaza is, of course, not a war, but a cowardly act of terrorism. It's perpetrated by the most sophisticated military force against a defenseless population. Gaza doesn't have F-16 jets or Merkava tanks or assault rifles. Israel's Minister of Defense, Yoav Gallant, has openly, publicly admitted they are committing major war crimes. They don't hide their intentions at all, and the world tolerates it, shame. Besides what has gone before, he's, of course, called the people, the Palestinians in Gaza, animals. And he announced now the full closure of the Gaza Strip, including cutting food supplies, water, electricity, and fuel. These are the most grotesque war crimes. The horrifying images online, which we can see, which the world doesn't see enough, and the casualty figures speak for themselves. Entire civilian residential districts are bombed to rubble. This is not targeted at Hamas or anybody else. This is a devastation of the civilian population, as we can see easily. It's a shocking fact, I just read, that Israel has dropped more bombs on Gaza in 6 days than the US dropped on Afghanistan in 1 year. To their credit, to some of the Jewish activists that I follow and admire, the Israeli scholar and activist, Jeff Halper, he said that Israel is in the process of committing genocide in Gaza. That's no longer hyperbole or exaggeration, and it's abetted by our own government. Oh, wonderful. Of course, it's important for me to say one other thing about this. This is not military necessity, as we know, but in case you're not aware, this is actually an explicit policy of the Israeli government, military policy. It has a name. It's called the Dahiya Doctrine. Google it and see that they are deliberately targeting civilians on a massive scale. This is the Israeli approach to the Palestinians generally. Let me wind up. Since 1948 in Palestine, the Jews are not the victims. We are the perpetrators. Today, who among us are those that the Jews refer to from the Second World War as the righteous among the nations, the one that stood up against the crimes of their own people. We can't remain silent when the crimes are being committed in our name. So I call on the Jewish people in particular to learn the right lessons of our own experience as victims of prejudice, racism and genocide. We have the slogan, never again, but never again can't mean just to Jews. It means not never again to anybody. Finally, we must stand in solidarity with the Palestinian struggle and the Gazan struggle in particular for national liberation and self-determination towards a very long denied peace with justice. We must demand an end to the Israeli assault on Gaza. We must have a shared vision for the future of all the people of the region, Israelis and Palestinians alike. And this means from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Thank you.
Ramia is an Australian Palestinian lawyer and the executive committee. She's on the executive committee of the Australia-Palestine Advocacy Network. She's also got family in Gaza, and so please send her the most sincerest solidarity and love right now. Give it up for Ramia.
Well, I want to make sure that you can all hear me loud and clear. Let me hear. The world is enabling the barbaric, brutal, oppressive actions of the occupying colonial force, Israel, to get away with genocide. As we speak, the world needs to know Gaza is no longer the largest open-air prison. It is a concentration camp. Gaza into a blackout, not only from electricity, but when the phones die, the Gazan population will no longer be able to share their first-hand accounts of the atrocities and the horrors that will unfold on the ground. It will be worse than 1948. With the advanced military equipment and weaponry of today, the Gazan population will be massacred and the world remains silent. Gaza is a refugee camp. Understand this. The Palestinians in Gaza don't belong in Gaza. They once fled their homes in what we call Israel today. They are going to be displaced yet again and become refugees for the second, third, fourth, tenth time. The world, including our government, must not grant Israel impunity and disregard the international human rights laws in place. I leave you all with a message of hope, with a message to not feel helpless and to not despair. God chose us to be here. We need to play a part in putting pressure on the Australian government and the whole international community to call for the immediate protection of the Palestinian civilians, to allow a humanitarian corridor immediately, to allow food, water, fuel, electricity to go in right now. We need to call upon our global community to call Israel out for its brutality. Keep sharing the Palestinian stories, especially now before there will be a blackout. Put pressure on your government. Follow organizations that are doing the groundwork here, such as APAN and many other organizations. And most importantly, pray. Pray for the people of Palestine. Keep them in your dua. Wake up in the middle of the night and beseech God for justice and for freedom from the oppressors. We can do this. Do not lose hope. Thank you.
Just very quickly before I introduce our next speaker, on our theme before of our need to be very peaceful and disciplined, one thing I forgot to say before is that we're asking people here, unless of course it's for religious reasons or for medical reasons, to please don't cover your faces. If people come in with their faces covered, it just makes it easier, as I said before, potentially for people wanting to cause trouble, infiltrators who pretend to be part of our cause but who are not, to do that. So please just keep your faces clear if possible. Thank you, everyone. Okay, our next speaker is Michelle Birkin. She's from two Jewish organizations, from Jews Against the Occupation and also an anti-Zionist Jewish collective called Zedek. Her grandparents survived the Holocaust, and she's here again to talk to us about the Jewish support for the Palestinian freedom. Thank you, Michelle.
I don't have such a loud voice. Most, I acknowledge that the land where I stand and speak today is unceded Aboriginal land. I respect Indigenous Australians' ongoing connection to country. I respect their elders, past, present and future. I also want to acknowledge the unstinting work of the two Jewish groups that I represent today, Jews Against the Occupation and Zedek. I am a secular Jew. My Jewishness is so deeply embedded that it is inseparable from my nature. It shapes my morality, my worldview, my politics. I was brought up with my grandparents who escaped pogroms in Europe, only to watch in helpless horror and despair and grief as everyone else in their families was wiped from the face of the earth, while the rest of the world stood by watching our Holocaust, just as we stand by and watch the genocide of Palestinians committed by the pure evil state of Israel. Right now, as we speak, as we stand here, Israel is committing unspeakable and unbearable atrocities in Gaza. Yet somehow we must continue to speak of them, especially to politicians who mouth despicable platitudes that we should not protest, but go home and pray. And politicians who argue that Israel has the right to defend itself. Since when is genocide self-defense? Since when does an occupier have the right to crush into oblivion people whom it has brutalized and dehumanized, persecuted and oppressed for decades? I was once a Zionist. At my synagogue, love for Israel was interwoven with love for the Jewish people. I learned to speak Hebrew. I lived and worked on a kibbutz. I fully intended to immigrate. Having known anti-Semitism from my school, from other children, and from random individuals on the street, the idea of a Jewish state was very seductive. However, life went in a different direction. And in July 2014, I was in Sydney with a television, and everything changed. In the heartbreaking horror and suffering inflicted on Gaza, I saw the reality of Israel. I saw its inhumanity, its unfettered brutality, its unhinged violence. I looked into an abyss, and that abyss swallowed every illusion I had ever had about the state of Israel. It almost swallowed me. If this was what my people had become, who am I? But my Jewishness also held lessons in humanity, in morality, and in steadfastness. So I am Wahia, one of the growing number of Jews around the world who reject the hijacking and destruction of our identity by this colonial, supremacist, apartheid, genocidal state. One of our rabbis taught that the world is a very narrow bridge, and each of us must cross it, and we must have no fear, no fear at all. So we must remain steadfast, guided by what we know to be right and true, not tempted by the demons of revenge or despair or the rage and overwhelming grief that we are experiencing and that threaten to eclipse our humanity. We must be united in our insistence on our right to publicly mourn Palestinian deaths, to protest Israel's genocide in Gaza, to continue the struggle for justice until Palestine is free.
Thank you.
That was recently released just a couple of months ago. Your homework tonight is to go home and read it and find out, because there is a party out there in Australia that supports Palestine 100%. This policy was recognized globally but as one of the staunchest and most pro-Palestine political party policies in the world by Palestinians. The Greens in Australia and in New South Wales have faced slander, they have faced intimidation, they have faced threats, and for their stance on Palestine and for boycotts, divestments, and sanctions on Israel. I'm going to introduce our next speaker. Our next speaker is Maureen Faruqi. She is the Senator for New South Wales, and she is the Deputy Leader of the Greens, and she is a strong friend of Palestine. Give it up for Maureen!
Assalamu alaikum, friends. Peace be upon you. With me here today is my friend and colleague from New South Wales Parliament, Jenny Leong, who is, like me, an unashamed friend and ally of Palestine. I acknowledge the sovereign owners of the lands that we gathered on, the Gadigal people, and pay my respects to elders past and present. For 235 years, First Nations people have been targeted by violent colonialism, by theft, by dispossession. And I particularly want to acknowledge the harm and hurt that they have been put through over the last some months, as conservative forces, as they always do, have run a campaign of fear, racism, and division. The struggle for truth-telling, the struggle for treaties, the struggle for self-determination goes on. Activists and leaders is formidable, and we are here in solidarity with them today. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I do speak today with a profound sense of sorrow, sadness, and a very heavy heart for the innocent civilians who have lost their lives in Gaza and Israel. My thoughts are with those who are mourning the loss of their loved ones. My thoughts are with those who are living the brutal savagery of the war in Gaza, perpetrated by the Israeli government. And I want to make it clear, no civilian should be the target of the violence of war. That much is obvious. That much we have said before. Yet, we are asked again and again if we condemn civilian deaths. What an offensive and abhorrent assumption that we wouldn't. Palestinians know better than most the violence of oppression, of occupation. They have lived under Israeli occupation for 75 years.
Free, free Palestine!
We know that there is no place for any kind of racism, discrimination, anti-Semitism, or Islamophobia. You know what else we know, and what else I know, is the importance of telling the truth. And I also know the harsh consequences of telling the truth. But that will not stop me from telling it exactly like it is. I will not be silenced. We will not be silenced. And let me say this. I will not. I will never apologize for demanding an end to occupation, the oppression, and the crime of apartheid being committed by the State of Israel. I will never apologize for telling the truth. And the truth is this. The truth is this. The atrocities being committed by Israel are war crimes. They are the very definition of collective punishment that Palestinians have borne for decades now. This is not new. This is not new. In Gaza, civilians are on the precipice of annihilation because the blockade means that they have literally nowhere to go as they have been cut off from water, from electricity, and from other essential supplies. And as Israel continues its deadly bombing of civilians in Gaza, the fate of hundreds of thousands remains uncertain in the besieged strip. Millions, that's right. Israeli missiles have now been raining down for days on apartment buildings, homes, mosques, refugee camps, and there has been so much harm done to hospitals and schools as well. Health authorities in Gaza said on Friday that around 1,900 Palestinians have been killed and another 7,700 wounded by Israeli strikes that have turned entire buildings into complete rubble. And more than half of those who have been killed are women and children. More than 1 million people in Gaza are being forced to flee to the south of this open-air prison as Israeli strikes continue to rain down. There is absolutely no safe place for them, nowhere to go. Yet, disgracefully, the New South Wales police and the New South Wales government have made shameful attempts to silence us. They have made shameful attempts to stop us from coming together to shine a light on the worsening crisis in Gaza. Any attempt to silence us is an unjustifiable abuse of political power. We have a right to speak up. We have a right to speak up. We have a right to protest. We have a right to assembly. So thank you so much, everyone, for being here today. Protest. The truth is this, my friends, the truth is this. The erasure of Palestinian suffering is a long-standing policy for both major parties in Australia. The bipartisan consensus on supporting Israel's bombing of Gaza and painting it as defense is neither surprising, sadly, nor new. This enables and empowers Israel to continue the oppression of Palestinians with impunity. And that is an utter disgrace. And as our government continues to shield the apartheid state of Israel from all accountability, we gather here to tell them that we see through their lies. We see through their hypocrisy. Which landmarks were lit up in the colors of the Palestinian flag when in 2014, Israel carpet-bombed civilians from one end of the besieged Gaza Strip to the other, with 2,000 Palestinians were killed. Where are the colors of the Palestinian flag when civilians are being killed right now by Israeli bombing? Confronted with this dehumanization of Palestinians, we gather here today in solidarity with Palestinians who have lived through brutal occupation and oppression for 75 years. It's Al-Nakba every day for them. That's the situation.